So this is kind of an in-between Sunday where we're wrapping up our Family Feels message, and we're going to bounce right into this Irresistible Church series beginning next Sunday, kind of today. This is kind of like the intro to it. We just wrapped up the series in September looking at Family Feels and incorporating family and how Jesus viewed family and how the church, the early church fathers, looked at the local church body as family, calling each other brothers and sisters in Christ, and how important that was. We looked at a video of elephants as a family, as a unit. They supported one another, and we looked at ways in which we as a church family can support one another. And we use the example of Little Gilead, that vital ministry that is very much the first step of our mission of being and making active disciples. And we put out that call of assistance that we would need help for people to dedicate, you know, one Sunday a month for a year. We're looking for 12 Sundays where you would be back there and interacting with our kids in Little Gilead. And there's still time for you to do that. When we finish up, we're going to have an abbreviated message today. Even though there's 7 points, we're going to give you time to go and sign up for life groups. You got one last time today to sign up for life groups. You can go back and talk at the registration table for Little Gilead to figure out what is it involved. You can go and just watch next week and see if this is a place that you could plug in to help our young people grow in their knowledge of God and who He is as they begin to formulate their belief of God and Jesus and the Bible. So what's going to happen is our life groups is basically a smaller group ministry that we have here at Gilead Friends Church, and they're going to begin this week. Many of them are going to start tonight, and we have some throughout the week. And then we also have a Sunday morning group that will kind of begin next Sunday morning. And this life group is not simply just one more thing that we're asking you to do as people of Gilead Friends. It is an important step in our mission to be and make active disciples. It's not something, if we could alter the mindset, the culture of church in general, we don't want it to be just one more thing that we're asking you to do that takes up your valuable time, but it's something that you can invest in because of what comes out, what we're hoping life groups will do, especially this session and the next spring session of life groups. It's merely a tool in which we can grow in our relationships with others and grow in our relationship with God. It will cause you, those of you who are participating in a life group this session, then you'll have another time during the spring to sign up for another life group that will be a continuation of this. It will cause you to think about your worldview from a biblical perspective. We could call it even living in the kingdom of God, changing how we think, altering how we approach certain topics and ideas. It will bring you different perspectives from others in your groups because you're going to be digging into the Bible. You're going to be asking questions, and everyone is going to have an opportunity to say, well, this is what I bring. This is how I view things, and this is what I heard. And it's going to be incredibly beneficial to your life. It's not simply one more thing to do, but it's actually going to invest and build and grow you as a follower of Jesus. And so what this life group, this session, is going to be about 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks starting today. You are going to learn more about your church. And when I say your church, not only this facility, but the people of Gilead Friends Church. You are going to expand that to the community around you, to your school, to your home, to your work, and the stores that you frequent. You're going to take what you discuss in your life groups and the things and the ideas brought forth, and it's going to grow out naturally from those life groups into your spheres of influence. So we believe that life groups are the next step in our mission to be and make active disciples. We believe in a three-step process, which begins here on Sunday mornings in the gym. You get a taste for how we respond to who God is. It's kind of like our flavor. This is the songs we sing. This is the messages that we hear. This is the relationships we build as we see each other for just a few minutes here on Sunday mornings. This is like getting your feet wet right here. And then the second step in growing and being and making active disciples is going deeper. You yourselves taking the initiative to open your Bibles, to answer questions and discuss with one another, growing, learning that maybe other people have similar ideas and they've come from different backgrounds, but they're similar and different for you, and you grow in that way. And then the third step of being and making active disciples is then taking all of this information, all of this information that you hear on Sunday mornings and the relationships and the experiences you have, and taking what you've gleaned from life groups and the Bible study and the answering of the questions and the fun things that take place there, and then actually living it out. It's not so much where it's a sponge to soak it in, because if you know anything about sponges and all the sponge does is soak up water and just sits there, it gets stale. And it gets kind of musty and stinky. And so you have to squeeze that sponge and let the water ooze out so that you're living it. You're taking it in and then you're giving it out. That's being and making active disciples. And so these life groups that we're beginning this week are an integral part of that. And so for the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at six traits of a church that would be known as irresistible. Following the Sunday mornings, we'll talk about the traits here on Sunday mornings in the gym. And then when you go into your life groups, you are going to take the notes that you took on Sunday morning. Hopefully you'll begin taking notes, because there's going to be a lot of information. You'll take notes. We'll provide paper for you so you can take notes. You'll take them into life groups. You're going to talk about, okay, what did you hear on Sunday morning? What stood out to you? And then you're going to have Bible verses. You're going to have questions that's going to draw you and make it even deeper as far as, okay, now what does this mean specifically for me, for us? How then do we apply this to Gilead Friends Church, to our friends, our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ? We're going to look at these traits and see how we can apply them to the DNA of Gilead Friends Church. And so what I want to do is I want to have the kids help me as we talk about this word irresistible, right? So if the kids, if you're, first grade through fourth grade, come on up and join me here on the podium, because I want to ask you a few questions about irresistible. Join me right here. Awesome. Now, so I've got some questions. If it's all right, I'm going to sit off here to the side. I get kind of tired of standing all the time. So here are some questions. We're talking about irresistible. And if you look on that big screen, you can see the word irresistible up on the big screen. When we talk about irresistible, we're talking about this incredibly strong draw. Like it pulls you in. And so the questions that I have for you is, what kind of things pull you in? For example, think about things that smell good. What are things that smell incredibly good that when you smell it and your nose just catches a whiff, you're like, where is it? Where is it? I need to find out where that is. What's something that smells really good that draws you in?
Chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake. All right. What else? What else smells really good? Yeah. Really? That smells good. Okay, you had something?
Flowers and perfume.
Yes, that smells really good. Yeah. Brownies smell fantastic. Does everyone like the smell of brownies? Brownies smell fantastic. What else? What else?
Bread.
What? Garlic bread?
Yeah. I love it. It's so good.
All right. Now, how about, so that's something that we smell. How about, is there anything that you hear? Is there something that when you hear it, you just got to go toward it? What is it that you hear that it's just I have to go? Yeah, what is it that you hear? Music. You're drawn to music. Yeah, what are you drawn to when you hear something? Cats. So if you hear cats fighting, you're drawn to them? No? If you hear them meowing, oh yeah, cats fighting. Okay. Yeah, what do you like to hear? I was going to say, when you hear movies or videos, does anyone else like to, when you hear like the TV is on or some screen is playing, some video is being played, you have to go see what's being played. Any parents out there, the screen comes on and your kids are like, bam! They don't listen any other time, but they hear there's a commercial on. I must see what this commercial is. What else? What else do you hear that just draws you? Race cars. Yes. You have another thing that you hear? Dog barks, you hear that? Okay, one last thing. When you see something, What draws you in when you see something? Because when I think of things that you hear, I think of like the ice cream truck. Did anyone remember the ice cream truck from years ago? Do they even have ice cream trucks anymore? Or like the theme song to a certain show would come on and you know, like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you knew that you were going to come in and have a good time. So something that you see now, what is it that you see with your eyes and you're just drawn to it? Puppies, I would imagine. If you see puppies, you're drawn to it. If you look at cats, right? If you see fur flying everywhere, you're like, yes, I got to go see what's going on. What is it that you see and you're just drawn to it? Dogs, yeah. What are you drawn to by seeing?
Arcade.
An arcade. Back to the videos, yes. What do you see that you're drawn to?
Flowers,
just like you're smelling? Yeah. Kittens and brownies. And how about pizza? If you see pizza, does it help if you smell it and see it? How about when your mom or dad or your grandparents, as far as listening, when they say, wash up for dinner, is that good when you hear them? Does that draw you to dinner or does that make you run the other way? So all of these things, visually and hearing and smelling, it's all these things that draw you to certain things. That would be called an irresistible urge that you just have to go and see it. Well, what we're going to talk about today and for the next few weeks is how the church can be like that. But we're not talking about that draws people here because we're doing the greatest thing or we smell the greatest or the fur is flying everywhere. It's not because of that. It's actually because the church is going to resemble what we call kingdom of God living. And that itself is what's irresistible. The kingdom of God itself is so irresistible because when you look at Jesus, people flocked to him. It wasn't because he smelled good. I mean, he might have. It wasn't because his hair was flying everywhere. I mean, it might have. But it was because the kingdom of God was surrounding Jesus and people wanted to go and see what this was all about. And so that's what we're going to look at beginning today and then for the next few weeks. So let's pray and pray that the adults and us kids, that we would be aware that irresistible means that we resemble the kingdom of God, and that's irresistible. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the things that draw us, things that smell, things that are beautiful to look at, and things that catch our ear. Lord, as we look at this title of being an irresistible church, that you would put aside things special just to draw people here, just because it's the fad or it's trending, but because it would be the kingdom of God. They would see, they would hear, they would taste the kingdom of God with the people of Gilead Friends Church, and that would be so irresistible. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for helping out. Go back to your seats with your folks, and we will continue. Now, I'm going to need your help, kids, because your adults aren't quite so loud. I mean, they could be, but today we're going to give them the excuse to go ahead and be loud. And so when we talk about these 7 points, and I'll get to it, I'm going to say, number one, I want you to yell as loud as you can, number one or number two, as we get through them. Do you think you can do that? You're going to just make sure that you're awake and that you're following me. All right, so we are looking at irresistible church. This thing, this incredibly strong draw. And we're not looking at this idea that, oh, people are just coming to Gilead Friends because it has a large building or because it has this gigantic parking lot or because, oh, the music is this and the programs are this. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about an irresistible church. We're talking about Gilead Friends Church being an irresistible church simply because it is resembling what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is our one and only example of that we can look to. You can use Paul and you can use the disciples, but what we want to focus in on is Jesus and that people flocked to him because he was living out the kingdom of God. And when that is done in full sincerity and full heart, then people flock to it. And though the kingdom of God expands and it grows. And so the big basis for this irresistible church is found in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. If you want to turn there, it's a simple verse. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this letter, and he had a few things to say once Jesus resurrected and went to the God the Father. Stand with me as we read this one verse from James chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. He writes this. It's on the screen behind me if you don't have a Bible or if the words are too small and you can read behind me. James writes this. He says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's pray real fast for this. Father, for these words from James, as it pushes us forward into this topic of an irresistible church, God, would you open our hearts and our minds and our ears wide open to receive from you today as we look forward to what an irresistible church looks like as we resemble, as we live in the kingdom of God as Jesus put forth, as he inaugurated. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So it starts out so well, right? You read verse 8 of James chapter 4, and James has got it going on. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's one of those life verses, those warm fuzzies. Oh, that's fantastic. And then he just has to throw in that second part, right? And you're like, ooh, that kind of strikes me a little off. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. This is the entire basis of this irresistible church, a church that comes near to God, that wants to get as close as it can to God the Father, that we want to be near you. We're talking about family this past month, when kids want to be near their parents, their mom or their dad or their grandparents. I was talking to a few guys a couple weeks ago about little Gilead, and just the fact that it's like, you realize the magnetism that you would have for kids just because you are you and you are there. You have this magnetic personality that kids would just flock to you, and the words that you would say and impart in them would be fantastic. This idea, drawing near because God is so magnetic, in the gifts that he gives, in the blessings that he gives, in the love that he pours out to people, if they would understand that. And so then James pulls in this and he says, now wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. James is explaining that this reflects both inwardly of purifying your hearts. It's this idea of the inside, who you are, what you believe, and your understanding. Purify that. Of your thinking, of your thoughts, and your mindset. And it's also outwardly washing your hands. Now, this is ancient Jewish custom of purifying your hands from being outdoors before you ate. It was a symbolism of I am now ready. I have purified my hands. I have purified my heart. James is saying it can't be either or. Being a follower of Jesus, or in this case, an irresistible church, being and making active disciples of Jesus Christ, is not simply a mental thing. You cannot just leave it at mentally thinking, purify your hearts. There also includes, and wash your hands. It's what you believe inwardly and how that translates outwardly, your behavior. Does that make sense? When you believe in Jesus, that changes the way you think, it changes your mindset, your worldview, and then the consequences of that is that it changes, or in this case, it purifies your behavior. And this is what James is talking about. We could call this kingdom of God thinking. The closer Gilead Friends comes to God, the more irresistible it becomes, because it is going to reflect Jesus. It is going to reflect this kingdom of God that Jesus had talked about. And so what does this look like? This idea of coming near to God. What does it look like when a church comes near to God intentionally, sincerely, wholeheartedly? What is it going to look like? Well, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to unpack that. There's a total of 12 traits that we're going to use, that we're going to look at. The first six are in the fall with life groups, and then when we come back to the spring, we're going to wrap it up with the last six traits. So we're getting the first of two here in the fall. So let's skip to the end. Let's skip to the end of what will Gilead Friends look like for you once it comes near to God, and God comes near to the church, and we are living collectively as a family kingdom of God lifestyles, wholeheartedly, sincerely. Well, here's what it's going to look like. There's going to be seven things, and this is where I'm going to need your help. When I say number one, you're going to respond as loud as you can, number one. So here it is. The first thing that it's going to look like, the results of living an irresistible church is, number one, you grow spiritually at this church. This is what it's going to look like. We're skipping all the way to the end. I'm kind of spoiling the movie for you. This is what it's going to look like when we're all done with these 12 traits. Number one, you will grow spiritually at Gilead Friends Church. You are going to be provided spiritual education based on biblical principles. And that will help you, that will help your family, that will help your household grow in your faith. You trust the teachings that take place in Gilead Friends Church and its life groups. You trust them. You believe that I'm going to come in here and I'm going to hear messages and the Word of God in truth and in power because God's Spirit is moving. You can worship God freely with the people here. You don't have to worry about, is this appropriate or not? I'm here with my family and we worship together. It provides opportunities for you to meet other Christ followers and make lasting friendships. In a world almost designed to rip friendships apart, we are going to be countercultural and strive to make lasting friendships here at Gilead Friends. So you grow spiritually at this church when a church comes nearest to God and God comes near to the church. It becomes an irresistible church. That's number one. Number two, you witness a sense of mission. For the longest time, as long as I've been here, you have heard me say repeatedly, the mission of Gilead Friends, the reason we are here, is to be and make active disciples of Jesus Christ. That is our mission. It's as if we're talking military, the commander comes down and this is our mission, and we have different tasks set about us in order to accomplish that mission. The thing is, that mission is ongoing. We will never fully accomplish that mission until we take our final breath. And then it will pass on to the next generation and the next generation, because this is the mission that Jesus gave his followers, to go into the world and make disciples. You are going to see the fruit of these endeavors, of endeavors like life groups, of ministries like Little Gilead and Gilead Christian School and the counseling sessions that we have here and the ministries outside to the fair and to other communities where we go and help people with their homes and their light work. All of these things, you are going to see fruit from those endeavors. Lives will be transformed. Marriages will be healed. Leaders will be raised up when a church comes near to God and God comes near the church and they wash their hands. And they purify their hearts. You will witness a sense of mission, and everyone will be on the same page. Number three. You want to go to this church every week. An irresistible church is one where you cannot wait to get there. You look forward to going there, not because of the big lights and the smoke machine and the pastor does crazy things to keep your attention going. No. It's not about the trend. It's not about the getcha gotcha. No, it's because you look forward to being part of the family. There is something about life that beats you down during the week where there's anxiety and for some there's a hopelessness. For others, there's a joy. And the idea of coming together, almost like a rallying every Sunday, is a sense of encouragement, a hope you're looking forward to. You want to be there because you want to be energized. You want to be reminded of who your Savior is, surrounded by people who are worshiping just like you. You want to be involved because you know that good things happen within and around Gilead Friends Church. You're just excited about it. When Jesus was on the earth and he was ministering and he was proclaiming these things that people had wondered, what authority does he say these things? They were drawn to it. The kingdom of God draws people. Coming near to God and God coming near to us. That's number three. What's next? Number four. You want to invest in the church for the long haul. What that means is there's no impulse to shop around. Wasn't there a song back in the 60s, 70s, you better shop around? No, we're not doing that. We're gonna throw that album out. There's no church shopping here anymore. You look at this and you say, man, they are committed to God. They are committed to the kingdom of God. And if things happen that I don't agree with, I'm in it for the long haul. We're going to discuss. We're going to challenge. We're going to grow. We're going to stretch. But this is our home church. This is my family. And we're going to work it out. We're going to move forward because God is at work here. He's in movement here. And I want to grab onto his coattails and ride this sucker for as long as I can. There's a deep sense of satisfaction in connecting with the life of this church. And come what may, you say, this is the church that I'm committed to. It's a new mindset. It's a new mindset for Americans because we like our choices, right? If your cereal changes the cover or the cartoon on the cover of your cereal box, we get upset. We're like, well, I'm going to go try this other kind of cereal box because I don't like this cartoon character. Or if a brand decides to change something, and we like our choices, don't we? And so this idea of being committed through the cliched thick and thin, it's almost like a marriage. This is it. I would go so far as to say the reason for leaving a church is if the teaching is heretical. At that point, we'd say, absolutely, get out of that mess. But things that you may disagree with, you can talk about it. You don't have to get offensive and, oh, you stepped on my toes, I'm out of here. Work through it. Do you do that with your family? Do you do that with your friends? We might. Because of the world we live in, we're in this for the long haul. That's number four. Number five, you tell others about this church. Again, you don't tell others because the pastor looks like a clown or because he's bringing a camel inside all these little gimmicks. You're not talking about that. Oh, come to Gilead Friends because our children's ministry is top-notch. You don't tell others because of that, because of the ministries and because of the programs. You tell others about Gilead Friends because God is moving and everyone feels it. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you with me? You tell others about this because you've experienced it and you want others to experience that as well. When people found Jesus, there's recorded instances in the Bible where they rushed to their brothers, to their sisters, and they said, "We have found him. You have got to meet him. Jesus is at work at Gilead Friends." And I'm telling you what, man, my life was just like that. You've got to be here and experience God moving. Number six. You relax at this church. Who knew you could relax at church? Some of you are relaxing right now. I can see it. You have fun with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You enjoy being with one another because following God is fun. It's enjoyable. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But man, it would be great just to sit back and relax with Jesus and his followers together. You don't expect perfection at Gilead Friends Church. That's one of these results of an irresistible church. People don't come and be like, oh, the pastor's tie was off a little bit. Oh, my Sunday school teacher, there was some spinach in her. Oh, I'm never going back to that Sunday school class. You don't expect perfection. Mistakes are made. How many of us would bear testimony? We have made mistakes as a church, as a family, as individuals. We have made mistakes. Would anyone else like to cop to that? Yes. Yes, we make mistakes. Kids, we make mistakes. Yet we grow from them. We don't just sweep it under the rug. We identify it and we say, we're not going to do that again. Because that hurt or that was painful or that was just a huge mess. But we make mistakes. People grow. Gilead Friends Church will be a place of grace and acceptance. You don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to talk a certain way to be a part. You are welcomed, you are accepted, and you are loved. Does that make sense? Number seven. Thank you so much, because this is the last one. You are delightfully challenged at this church. In other words, you will leave differently than how you arrived. I don't mean in a different car. That would be kind of strange. I was visiting another church when I was at yearly meeting, which is the big confab of evangelical friends in the Eastern region. I was visiting another church, and the pastor's wife pulled up her car at the front of the house, and I was talking to a couple of friends. I was like, what do you think would happen if the three of us just kind of piled into her car? And she's like, hey, where are we going? No. You leave differently than you arrived. You've been challenged. You've been educated. You've been motivated. You've been empowered for the week with tools for life. Does that make sense? I don't want it to sound condescending. You've been educated. No, you've learned something, either about yourself or the world around you or about God. You've been motivated by it. You're like, okay, now this is what I'm going to do. You've been empowered with tools to then put it into practice. You want to live life differently because you saw what happened. You see and you read how people changed because of their interaction with Jesus. Their lives were fundamentally changed. And this kingdom of God grew because of that. They left their encounters with Jesus different than how they arrived. So for the next 6 weeks, come ready to take notes. Come ready to use them in life groups. If you're not part of a life group, still take notes and review them throughout your week, because we're just going to pile them on for the next 6 weeks on Sunday mornings. I want to close with one illustration from the 1900s. There was a revival that had been spreading through the country, Wales. And the story goes that a traveler had heard about this revival going through the country of Wales, and he was curious. When you hear about revivals and lives being changed of an entire country, you'd be like, well, that's interesting. I want to see what's going on. And so this traveler, he gets off of the train, and he sees what he guesses is a local, and he asks the local, hey, so how do I find the church where all this revival is taking place that we've been hearing about? And the local man replies, sir, you just start walking, and God's presence will draw you in. This is what happens when a church is irresistible, when they surrender everything to Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And they say, we want to look like you. We want to surround ourselves with this kingdom of God, that people are drawn to it. It's an irresistible church. People don't need to see us, right? Gilead Friends isn't going to be irresistible because of us. That's not what we want. We want it to be irresistible because they need Jesus. Will you stand with me as we close? Kids, you were fantastic with your help today. Thank you so much with your response. Heavenly Father, as we begin this journey of looking at an irresistible church on Sunday mornings and then in our life groups, as we discuss, I pray for the stories that we will bring. For those of us who are not able to be a part of a life group, Father, I pray that we would pick up the phone and start having conversations. We would use the things that we learn on Sunday mornings and we would talk about them. We would explore. Father, would our pursuit, would our passion be to live in the kingdom of God? Would it be, as James says, washing our hands, purifying our hearts, that our mindset and our beliefs would then echo into our behavior? Because we are coming near to our God, believing that He comes near to us. Father, may we be a part of the ministry, may we be a part of your mission that reaches out of this facility and the people here currently, and may we impact those in our community. to the point where the people no longer see us, but when they look at Gilead Friends Church, they see the kingdom of God, and it's growing. And the churches all over this county are growing the kingdom of God. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. Again, you got one last chance to sign up for life groups if you're able. If you're thinking about doing Little Gilead, go to the registration table down the hall. They would love to talk with you. Be blessed as you go. We'll see you next Sunday.